Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Proverbs 16:7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Proverbs 16:7. Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." Psalm 90, verse 12. John 3:36, "The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." John 3:36. "The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." John 3:36. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. Colossians 3, verse 5. And we'll look at that passage of Scripture in just a few moments after we have our time of prayer. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. May we pray together, please. Father, we are the recipients of grace today again, and we thank you for the opportunity which is ours to focus our minds on eternal truths. We pray that these moments will be for all of us very profitable moments as we receive the imputation of your wonderful word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, let's begin with verse 1. "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." A magnificent verse indeed. Let's look at it again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Now our verse, verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." On the screen you see Colossians 3, 5, which presents to us the verse in the English and also in the Greek. The insert in your bulletin today has the first verse, James 1:15, for our first session today. Now this session, Colossians 3, 5, on Wednesday night, Ephesians 4:19. Look, if you will, please, at Colossians 3, 5. "Put to death, therefore, your members on the earth." Then we have a list: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You talk about a fantastic list, it's here. If this word is already in your vocabulary, that's fine. If this word is not in your vocabulary, then I want you to enlist it into that list of words that you already know. It is the word, and I pronounce it correctly now because I've been pronouncing it incorrectly for years. I pronounce it correctly now, concupiscence. So if you will, please look at it, the word concupiscence. It is the word, you can see, that is translated from the Greek epithymion. We talked about epithymia in the first session. We will talk about that word again. We will see that word in the future when I come to the point of dealing with that particular subject in great detail. If you will look, please, for a few moments at the first word there, put to death. It is the aorist active imperative of nekro-o. This word is an interesting one in that nekros is the word for death in the noun. The Greek verb is nekro-o, which is, as you can see here, N-E-K-R-O-O. Most of you by now have these Greek letters in mind, you understand. But let me remind you that this is not nekros for death. This is nekro-o, which is a verb. Notice how the word is used. It is used as an aorist active imperative verb. Nekro-o. Second person plural. The reason why I emphasize this deliberately today is because I want you to see that you and I are being informed here to have the privilege of doing what the verb says, which is a command. We have the responsibility to put some things to death in our lives. We're going to see a list in a few moments, but right now we're looking at the verb. Aorist tense at a point of time. Active voice, subject produces the action, that's you and me. The imperative verb is the verb of command. I can't make it any plainer than what the scripture makes, and that is, God is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Colossian believers, and to all of us here today, you and I have a responsibility of killing some things, putting to death in our lives some things that shouldn't be there. Wow. Now let's go on to see what it says. Put to death, therefore, your members on the earth. That's where they are right now. Then we have these unique words. The word porneion, which is the word for fornication. Then the word akathorsion, which is the word for uncleanness. Then we have the word pathos, P-A-T-H-O-S, passion. Then we have the word evil. We have already looked at this word. We see that it is the Greek word kakos. Then we have the word concupiscence. That's a word that you need to add to your vocabulary if it's not there. And you'll notice that the Greek word there is epithymion. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A-N. I've said these over and over again so many times that you'll be able to look at a letter in the Greek and be able to say exactly what it is. I'm not teaching Greek, but I tell you what, most of you have already had enough hearing these words and these letters pronounced. You just know what they are. And I want you to know I'm proud of you for being able to do that. And then it says, and covetousness, pleonexia, zeon, pleonexion, P-L-E-O-N-E-X-Z-I-A-N. Now notice also that all of these are listed here, and then it says, which is idololatria, and that is the word idolatry. Well, are you folks with me today? Concupiscence, let's look at that word for a few moments. Concupiscence, noun. I want you to be able to leave this service today and be able to pronounce concupiscence. I'm just being ugly. No, I'm being real sweet and nice. Concupiscence. Strong sexual desire. Lust. Now, I've been told in the service today, when the service was over this morning, preacher, keep on doing what you're doing. In other words, be frank and honest. And what the word says, go ahead and say it. Even though I realize that some people may be somewhat disturbed when these words are used. But I want you to see what the Word of God says. Strong sexual desire is the definition of concupiscence, lust. Notice, if you will, synonyms. Sexual desire, sexual appetite, sexual longing, ardor, desire, passion, libido, sexuality, biological urge, lasciviousness, concupiscence, lethargy. Now, you can put down some of these words if you so desire. If you don't, that's okay too. What I want you to be able to see, how this word is used in this verse of Scripture and what the meaning of the word is. You're looking at your insert. Again, it says, put to death. It's a strong word, a command. Put to death, therefore. Those things related to you and me in our life while we're here on this earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. We're not going to be long with this passage today. But while we're here, I would encourage you to take these notes down. The word epithumia, as we've already pronounced, desire, longing. Concupiscence is the English translation of the Koine Greek epithumia. I've said that about four or five times already. You're going to be amazed when you see what I have for you now. Epithumia occurs at least 38 times in the New Testament. Do you want to hear about all this? I have it for you. I have it down for you. I'm not looking all these verses up with you, but I've got them down on the screen. So if you want to write these down, you take them down. If you don't, that's your privilege. We have the word epithumia used in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. We have that word epithumia used in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. John chapter 8, verse 44. In the next session, we're going to be looking at Romans 1:24. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the fact that Romans chapter 1 is a powerful passage indeed. It deals with some very important things that take place on our earth in this particular time. It's not only something that takes place now, it has been taking place for years. But it is something that most preachers will not talk about. But I want you to know that we're going to deal with Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Now, what I've just done is distracted you, because some of you are going to be wanting to go now to Romans 1:24 and see what I'm referring to. If you don't mind, just hold it. We'll get there and we'll be spending time with that particular verse. The word epithumia is used in Romans 6:12, in Romans 7:7-8, in Romans 13:14. What is interesting to me is the Apostle Paul has some tremendous things to say using this word epithumia in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, 24. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans 7, 7 and 8. Romans 13, verse 14. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatian believers, he uses that word epithumia in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 24. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22. In Philippians 1:23. And Colossians 3:5, which is our verse here today. I'm giving you time to look at this. I'm giving you time to write these if you so desire. That word epithumia is used at least 38 times in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. 1 Thessalonians verse 5. It's amazing to me to be able to tell you that in the Pauline epistles, Paul's writings to these various individuals in various churches, the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, 1 Thessalonians 4:5, and then to that young minister, Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:9, 2 Timothy 2:22, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. If anyone needs a message related to the word epithemia, it is the young individuals. And here the Spirit of God uses the Apostle Paul to deal with that young preacher, Timothy. I repeat, 1 Timothy 6:9, 2 Timothy 2:22, 2 Timothy 3:6, 2 Timothy 4:3. I could not be nicer to you than I am trying to be now. And that is to let you have time to write these verses down. Why do I do this? Preacher, why do you do this? The reason I want you to see that that word epithemia is used so powerfully in the New Testament. And I'm giving you some of these verses. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Then we move to the book of James. James 1, 14 and 15. I'm aware of the fact that if you're not interested in taking these verses down, it may be a little boring to you for me to do what I'm doing. But I'm doing this for you who want to take these verses down. 1 Peter 4, 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, 4. 2 Peter 2, 10, 18. 2 Peter 3, 3. Notice, if you will, all of those verses that I've just given you from 1 and 2 Peter. I repeat, 1 Peter 2:11, 1 Peter 4:2 and 3, 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter 2:10, 18, 2 Peter 3:3. What's amazing to me is how God used all these different writers of the New Testament. What's also amazing to me is to come now to the fact that God dealt with the life of John the Apostle. We have the Gospel of John. We have 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. We have the book of Revelation. God used this man, John, in a unique fashion. Notice, if you will, now. Epithumia is used in 1 John 2:16 and 17. Then we go to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. And then that takes us, of course, to the last book of the New Testament. The word epithumia is used again there. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 14. Okay, have I been ugly to you? No. Have I been kind to you? Yes. The word concupiscence is the English translation of the Koine Greek epithumia. What does the word mean? I'll go back and let you see it again. It's a noun, concupiscence. Strong sexual desire. Lust. Synonyms: sexual desire, sexual appetite, sexual longing, desire, passion, libido, on and on and on. You already have all of those down. The word epithumia is variously translated throughout the New Testament, and I have those words for you now. Please be aware of the fact that I'm emphasizing the Greek word epithumia. You'll be able to say it. In fact, I have someone here today who's heard this so many times, and one day, not too many years ago, I mentioned the word, and that individual said, epithumia, epithumia, which let me know that they had heard it before, and it registered with them. Epithumia is variously translated desire, longing, lust, passion, covetousness, impulses, and our word, concupiscence. Are you going to be able to pronounce that word when you leave this session today? I think you will. But I want you to emphasize now with me the fact that one of the words that describes epithumia is the word lust. I pause for a few seconds to let that word sink deep into your innermost thinking. Lust. What I'm aware of is that when I throw the word lust out, normally what people think about is lust from the realm of the physical that we have on the screen. Impulses, longing, lust, desire, libido, various words like that. But I have to tell you that you and I must be able to see that the Word of God has a lot to say about the word lust that is beyond the expressions that I've just given you. And what we're going to do now is take about 10 minutes to let you see some of the things that the Word of God says in relationship to that word, lust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You're going to be able now, while I'm giving you these verses, to determine the meaning of the word lust in relationship to how many different facets. You're looking at one right now. Matthew 5:28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Matthew 5:28. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Please stay with me and look at this. What do you think this means? Is it referring to the same thing that is referred to in Matthew 5:28? Or do we have an expansion of this word? I want you to follow it and let you see it. "This I say then," the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian believers in Galatians 5:16, "this I say then, walk," continuously, "walk in the Spirit. And in doing so, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's an emphasis here upon what it's like to walk in the Spirit and what it's like to walk in the flesh. When we're walking in the flesh, we're not necessarily committing adultery. We're not necessarily involved with porneia. We're walking away from and far away from God's design for us as a born-again believer. Do you see what is being said? Are you seeing that? I want you to be able to see, "This I say," the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians and to us, "walk, continually walk, consistently walk in the Spirit," which means that you and I understand the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord. We understand the importance when we're out of fellowship to get back in right relationship with God. When we find ourselves being tempted, and the temptation is not the sin, the temptation comes into our minds, into our lives, and we have to make a decision of what we're going to do with the temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin. But when the temptation comes into our minds, into our lives, we have to make a decision. Am I going to yield to that temptation, or am I going to reject that temptation? I promise you that when we say no to the temptation, then God's grace, God's Spirit, God's Word brings to us joy and happiness and completeness. And that temptation is pushed aside and Satan is defeated. The reason why I harp on this is because I realize that I too, along with you, I'm a sinner. And I realize that there are various ways that Satan can get a hold of us. And sometimes it is not in the area of libido. It is not in the area of porneia. It is in the area of distraction. It's in the area of something else in life that becomes more important than God and the Word of God. It's a distraction. It's a temptation that we yield to. It may be anger. It may be jealousy. It may be strife. It may be a lot of things. Disagreements in the home. Disagreements with the husband. Disagreements with the wife. Frustration, On and on and on and on we could go. What I'm trying to tell you is that you and I must be aware of the fact that temptation comes lust in many different ways. This I say then, walk, continually walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right. Go on, preacher. You're getting so excited that you're preaching longer than you probably need to. But you need to see this. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Oh, where does that take us? Flee fornication. Porneia. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. These are startling verses. These are verses that some people would say, preacher, you don't need to deal with those. Just go on, deal with other verses. But I'm saying they're here. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian believers. If you know anything about the Corinthian believers, they had their problems. They really had their problems. When you pass through these chapters of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you will discover that one man even was involved in sexual activities with his, stepmother. Isn't that something? Well, I don't know about all the details there, but I will tell you this, that is fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. I'm sure that many stories could be told of how individuals have chosen to go down that road and they become bed hoppers, jumping from one bed to the other. And they have come to a point in life where that paid death to them. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Please take these verses down. I'm enjoying preaching on them, but I want you to know I need to move along. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 3, 4, and 5. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, I could deal with the word fornication, but let me deal with the word sanctification. There are three emphases in the Word of God on sanctification. There's positional sanctification. There's experiential sanctification. There's ultimate sanctification. Let's look at that for just a few seconds. Positional sanctification means when you believe and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, God works the miracle of sanctification. He sets you apart. Experiential sanctification is what we're doing right now. We're growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ by studying His Word. Ultimate sanctification will be when I breathe, when you breathe this last breath. When the heart beats for the last time. Unusual experiences happen to all of us. I've never had this happen, but last night, some unusual experience took place. I'm not going to go into any detail other than I became aware of the fact that it was possible for me to leave this life. And I realized then that God didn't want me to leave this life because you know what? I woke up this morning. And I was able to put my feet on the floor and get up, turn off the security system and say, you know what? This is Sunday and I'm going to preach today. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that ultimate sanctification, because we were talking this morning again, as we always do on Sunday morning with our youngest daughter who calls us at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. And she told us about one of her friends who died at the age of 45 or 55, died in his sleep. All I'm trying to do is to point out the fact that ultimate sanctification means that one of these days, you and I will leave this life. Look at it, Colossians 3:5. What is that? That's our verse for today. Mortify, kill the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. A few more minutes. My, the time goes by. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. To the young people here, look at this. It is saying to you, stay away. Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow love. Follow peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You ought to write, young people, you ought to write this one down. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Does that mean that young people have lust? Certainly. Lust in many different areas. Flee youthful lust. But what should you do? Follow that which is righteous. Faith, love, peace, so forth. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh, which are manifest, are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Galatians 5:19-21. 1 Corinthians 6:13. What am I doing today, preacher? I'm giving you verses from the Word of God. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Isn't that something? Well, I enjoy eating, don't you? Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Do you see how wonderful this is? In other words, your body and mine is to be used to honor the Lord. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. If you and I know anything about lust, we know that it's a constant warfare in our individual souls. James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted. I should change that. It doesn't mean just women. I mean just men. It means women also. For every person is tempted when he or she is drawn away by their own lust and enticed. James 1:14-15. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I even went to the Old Testament, found my way to Job 31:1, where Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Have you ever seen that verse before? Well, you're seeing it now. I made a covenant with my eyes. Some of you, the problem that you have is with your eyes. I should say, some of the problems that we have is with our eyes. I'm aware of the fact of the importance of the eye. I see it more and more after 2 operations on this right eye. And I'm thankful to the Lord that a little bit of sight is coming back into that right eye. And I'm thankful for it. And I don't need to talk about it to you, but I just enjoy telling you that a little bit more sight is coming back into that right eye. Some people have trouble with their eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You can do that for yourself. You can understand that verse for yourself. And Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's another verse you ought to write. Married couples, you should write that. Young couples, you should write that. Making plans for marriage in the future, you ought to write that. Hebrews 13, verse 4. And then I got so bold as to do this for you, which is going to make you smile. When I found these verses, I found all of these words from the various verses, epithemia. Do you see it? How interesting. Do you see it? How interesting. Do you see it? How interesting. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we realize today that your word is so powerful for all of us. And we've been made aware again of the fact that each one of us, every single day, many times during the day, are faced with this temptation of distraction, where our souls will be moved away from the Word of God and the thinking of God and the plan of God for our lives and move into the area of lust in various aspects. As we close this service today, we're thankful for the victory that can come to all of us when we yield ourselves to the Word of God and the power of God and the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. These last few moments are designed for the unbelievers who hear our voice. God's word is so beautiful. And it says salvation is the gift from God to anyone who will believe. We pray that there will be those who will believe and accept you as their Savior now. We realize that the Bible says, in Jesus speaking, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. This tells us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that at this very moment, there will be those who will accept you as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.